This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All right, you can go ahead, Sheikh.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah alayhi afdalus salah wa man wala amma ba'd. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, let me begin by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, to keep us safe, keep us healthy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to provide his rizq and his sustenance upon each and every one of us. Allahumma ameen. So today is the final session of our journey through 10 verses that, at least for myself, I feel that every Muslim should at least be aware of and at least capture some of the meanings and the intention behind these verses. So today we are at verse number 6 and we will go right to verse number 10, inshallah, because a lot of the verses that we have for today are very short, they're very straightforward, but extremely, extremely important. So let's get right into it, bi-ithnillah. As you see on your screen, we are now coming to a verse in Surah Yasin. And I mean, if you know the Quran, you know Surah Yasin. Surah Yasin, along with a few other surahs like Surah Ar-Rahman, Amma Yatasa'aloon, and the shorter surahs at the end of the Quran, there's something very interesting about these particular surahs. Pretty much anywhere in the Muslim world, somebody's going to know Surah Yasin. When I say know the surah, not necessarily that they can read it or they've memorized it, but they're aware of this surah. So the first thing to understand is that surahs like Surah Yasin, Surah Rahman, and others, Allah blessed in it a level of acceptance that is much greater than other surahs of the Quran. So this is why you find in most of our communities, people will be familiar with these surahs more than they'll be familiar with other surahs of the Quran. It doesn't necessarily mean that the other surahs are not that important and we don't need to pay attention to them. But there are things that in these surahs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to comprehend, wants us to pay attention to more so than the other surahs. Surah Yasin is a chapter of the Quran where there is a hadith of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Scholars had differed whether this hadith was authentic or not, and that Surah Yasin is the heart of the Quran. What exactly does that mean? Is the hadith itself still authentic or not? So just keep in mind that scholars have differed on that subject. However, when it comes to Surah Yasin being the heart of the surah, what does that entail? Literally, it encompasses all of the subjects that are connected to our basic aqidah or fundamentals of Islam are found in this surah. So when we talk about the heart of the Quran, meaning all of the basic creed fundamentals of Islam, so our belief system, all of the basic rules and fundamentals and concepts to help preserve and perfect our aqidah are found in this surah. So that alone makes it an extremely profound surah. This is why Surah Yasin begins with Yasin wal Qur'an al-Hakim. Innaka lamina al-mursaleen ala siratin mustaqim. So we start off with Yasin, the disjointed letters, no one really knows what they mean, but certainly they do have meaning and intent behind them. وَالْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ Allah gives an oath and swears by the Quran that it is Al-Hakim. It is the source of wisdom. So if you right away, the intro to this surah is that the Quran is the source of wisdom. Meaning in this surah, as you journey through it, you're going to come across concepts, different subjects and topics. All will have their rightful place, not just in conversation, but in our lives. So we're going to be, so in this surah, you're going to be talking about the Day of Judgment. You're going to be talking about Jannah and Jahannam. We're really talking about what exactly is the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the rightly guided path. You're going to be talking about the signs of Allah. You're going to be talking about so much. There's a large section of the surah that gives us a beautiful description of what Jannah is and what it entails. Surah Yasin also reminds us of how quickly life comes to us and life leaves us. وَمَن نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ So in the surah, Allah says that whomsoever Allah allows to age and to grow, eventually they will go back to what they began with. So you start off as a baby, and as a child, you're not able to do much. You're dependent on your parents and anyone else around you to do everything. And Allah says, نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ That eventually you're going to grow, you're going to become independent, you're going to be able to do these things on your own. But then you go back to who you were, you go back to the person you were. أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ Don't they ever ponder? Don't they ever reflect? You know, it was just this morning I was watching a video of an elderly man being fed by his children. He's on his hospital bed and he's being fed by his children. I think he was like in his mid 80s, close to his 90s. And those moments should remind you that just how Allah will fulfill his decree, that as we grow, we eventually become weaker and we're able to, and then we eventually have to depend on others to do these basic things that we're able to do once upon a time. When all is said and done, we come to this verse, which is the second last verse of the surah. Allah says, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ All it takes when He wills something, when Allah, إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَرَادَ If Allah even desires or even just thinks of something. So arada here, it could mean the most minuscule thing. And what follows arada is shay'a, shay'un, the most minuscule, trivial thing. It could be anything you think of, like a leaf falls from a tree. That's just a simple thing. Hardly anybody pays attention to a leaf falling from a tree. But to Allah, He is the one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that wills that that leaf is going to fall from that tree at an exact time, land at an exact place, and follow a trajectory that is precise and all decreed by Allah from the moment it leaves that tree till it touches the ground. All of those things are taken into consideration when Allah says, Kun fayakun, be and it is. That's all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to say. Now, why this verse? There is so much uncertainty in this world. And perhaps every generation was saying the same thing, where it just continues to escalate, continues to become worse and worse, more difficult, more unpredictable, and so many uncertainties. And as you and I, we continue to live in this world and we see all of the problems and chaos and corruption in all of its forms, you must take a moment and kind of sit back and just reflect that at the end of the day, nothing happens except by Allah's will. What that does for you and I is that it brings a sense of relief and comfort that this is not just happening because of certain individuals in power. This is not just happening because of corruption. At the end of the day, Allah is going to decree and will whatever He decrees and whatever He wills. And when you tell yourself that, it should kind of give you this sense of calmness that you can trust Allah and that you can trust His wisdom. You can trust that Allah knows what He's doing. You can trust that Allah knows the exact plan and outcome of all that He decrees. And when you do that, you're able to embrace Allah's will a little bit more and accept Allah's will a little bit more. You know, these are some of the things that we take for granted. It's very easy for us to say to one another, you know, you should just accept Allah's decree and that's it. Don't complain. It's very easy to say that. But when you're a parent and you just lost your child, you know, when you're a child who's lost their parents, when you're a family that has lost everything, all of your business, your work, your relationships, everything's been gone or destroyed, whatever disaster has struck in your community or your place or your country, whatever the case is, it's very easy for people to take for granted and just say, no, just trust Allah and it's all good, until you're in the middle of all of that chaos. So kun fayakun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills it. And that should immediately remind us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always and forever in control. Last thing that I'll mention to you about this verse, and then we'll go on to the next one, is that kun fayakun is found just in a couple, just in a few places of the Quran. And the wording is slightly different in other surahs. But the point here is kun is the simplest way of commanding anything to happen or to unfold. It's the simplest form of a command in the Arabic language. So just by the choice of these words highlights the enormous power and authority that Allah has over all of us. So kun can be applied to the most vast and complex things of this earth, to the most minuscule and trivial things of this earth. Kun is all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to do. And to keep in mind that this also highlights the good things in our lives, the positive things. So when Allah says kun fayakun, kun could be that, okay, she finally is pregnant now and we're going to have a child. Kun fayakun, you finally get that place that you've been working hard for. Kun fayakun, you've finally been able to achieve certain goals. You've been able to practice at a certain level. If you've been struggling, just trying to implement basic fundamentals of Islam, kun fayakun. Allah sees the effort. Allah appreciates your effort, your intention, your will. And so Allah says kun fayakun. So it applies to literally everything that unfolds and everything that happens in our lives. So an extremely important verse we should all keep in mind, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Let's go on to the next one. Here's number 7. This is the 7th verse. This is one of my favorite verses. And I know I say that all the time, but really and truly, it is one of my favorite verses. So this is found in Surah Fussilat, and it is verse number 30. It is a verse that scholars and imams all across the world, they love to recite this verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. Such a beautiful beautiful ayah. Just a slight correction in the font there. I just want to make sure that you guys capture that. So let me just pull out my pointer here, guys. So there's the ending of the ayah. Just have to adjust the font, but it is there. So وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. So what is this verse all about? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ. Surely those who say our Lord is Allah, our Master is Allah. That's the first part of the Shahada. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Then they live that life. So they remain steadfast, meaning the Shahada that you and I believe, the Shahada that we testify with. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا is that you implement that testification, that Shahada. You don't just say the words. You practice. You don't just talk the talk, you walk the walk. You know, I got to tell you, in some of my recent travels, I've met some Muslims that are truly convinced. Like, subhanAllah, I have trouble sort of grasping where they're coming from when they say this. But I've met Muslims who are truly content with the idea that as long as they have faith in their hearts, that they have complete faith in Allah. So there's no need to pray or to fast or go to Hajj, none of that stuff. That as long as Allah made me a good person and I'm charitable and I'm kind and I'm doing the best that I can in life, earning my money correctly in the halal way, spending it in the halal way, I'm doing all of these things, then, you know, my faith is there, it's solidified, and I have that relationship between me and Allah. There's no need to do anything else. So when you think that these ayat are standard and they sort of reiterate concepts that we already know and are aware about, if you just take time and you appreciate that you and I, we can not only testify, but we can also carry that belief system and we live the life, we upkeep it in our actions, our choices. So what does that even mean? Everything that you and I do, every choice that we make, every action that we perform must reflect our shahada with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you pray, you're constantly trying to perfect your prayer, because why? Allah blessed you with the shahada. Our Prophet ﷺ told us that the shahada will be the heaviest thing on the scales of good deeds on the day of judgment. So it's a big deal. Now you're going to take that shahada and you're going to now connect it to every choice that you make and every action that you perform. So what does that translate to? That's how you perfect your actions. That's how your worship, your actions, your righteousness, that's how they become perfect. That's how, inshallah, Allah will accept it from us. Now, this ayah is going to continue, but it's going to address another phase in our lives. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ Angels will descend upon them. Malaika, armies of angels, will descend upon that individual. What's happening here? The person is about to die. So this is somebody, the ayah is referring to someone on their deathbed. Allah says, if they believe in their shahada, then they live the life, then at the time of their death, Allah will send an army of angels. And what will these angels do? They will give that individual reassurance, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, that you don't be afraid and yet you don't become sad. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ, and congratulations, give them the glad tidings of Al-Jannah. May Allah bless all of us with Al-Jannah Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. Allahumma Ameen. So beautiful. What is the believer afraid of at the time of death? They're afraid because the reality is now to come and they're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're going to exit this world and going to another realm, another life, which is the life of the barzakh, the afterlife, the life of the grave. And there's only two things that can happen in the life of the grave. It will either be a pit from the pits of the fire, wal'iyadhu billah, may Allah protect us, or it will be a garden from the gardens of Jannah. May Allah bless that for all of us. Allahumma ameen. So it can only be one or two. And the thing to guarantee you that it's going to be a garden from the gardens of Jannah is the beginning of this ayah. Why did I choose this ayah? Because we simply don't know when our time will come that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove us from this world. We don't know what state we're going to be in. We don't know what actions we'll be involved in. We don't know where we're going to be standing. We don't know what we're going to be doing. Surah Luqman, Allah tells us, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. You don't even know which place or spot you're going to be standing on when death finds you. You don't know which stairs you're going to be on when death finds you, which tile you'll be standing on, which floor, which level, which lobby, which building, which home. Nothing. So they're afraid. They don't know what state they're going to be in when they meet Allah. And then the angels also say, وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, and don't be afraid, don't be sad. What are they sad about? They're sad because they are leaving this world alone. Friends and families are left behind. They're going into the grave alone. It is a sad moment, not just for the one leaving us, but also for those who remain at separation. لا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا. However, the angels, look how they give that reassurance. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. Congratulations. You know, أَبْشِرُوا from أَبْشِرُ is another way to congratulate somebody that you have great news. You have wonderful news. You have news to celebrate about. So وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. Allah orders the angels, go and congratulate them. What did they do? They get Jannah. الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. It's the Jannah that you were promised this entire time. So my brothers and sisters, what this verse, my intention behind it, I've chosen this verse to not only remind us of death, but to also remind us of how we must continue to remain consistent and steadfast so that our lives will lead us to a point when our turn comes and it arrives, that we have to leave this world, that it reaches us in a state where Allah will send us armies of angels, giving us this reassurance and also congratulating us, because everybody and everything that you have done in your lifetime to try to hold on to this message, congratulations, you did it. You got Jannah. And it's the Jannah that you were promised. It's the Jannah that you read about. It's all the ahadith and ayat you've been reading about and you've studied about, all those khutbas and lectures and classes you've attended, you've learned about Jannah. Congratulations. You remained committed. You were consistent. So now it is Jannah for you and I. Something to aim for. It's something to hold on to. Like again, so much negativity. There's so much pain in the world today. It is verses like this that help us to gain a bit of strength and optimism that things, inshallah, can still be good when it comes our turn to leave this world. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to leave this world in a manner that is pleasing to Him. Allahumma ameen. Let's go on to verse number 8. So verse number 8. This verse in Surat Al-Fath, verse number 29. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Muhammadur Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. So of course, this is the beginning of a longer verse. So verse 29 takes you right to the end of the surah. But I've wanted to just extract and concentrate on the beginning of this surah, because it's highlighting some serious issues that unfortunately many Muslims confuse. They misquote this verse, they use it for all the wrong reasons. So, and then I'll share to you why I've chosen this verse of the 10 that we should know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ. And those with him are firm with the disbelievers and compassionate with one another. So right away, in this translation, if you don't understand the context and the intent of this verse, it's so easy for anybody, any average layman, young Muslim who isn't grounded in Islam properly, for them to pick this verse and be like, oh, I'm supposed to be firm, strict, mean to those who disbelieve, and compassionate with only my own people. رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. I'm only going to be merciful to my own, but everybody else who's not with me, I'm going to be firm and shadeed with them. So literally, it looks like that's what the verse is saying. But if we take the time to understand, the verse is saying something quite differently. The first thing is that وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ, those who are with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مَعَهُ here those who are committed to him. So this word right here, those who are committed to him. Do you think that the Prophet ﷺ would want followers and companions committed to him that are really mean and firm to those who are not Muslim, the disbelievers? Would he actually call for and want those kinds of people to be his followers, to be a reflection of his teachings, and to go around and anybody who isn't Muslim, be mean to them, be awful to them, be firm, be strict with them? Is that the kind of followers the Prophet ﷺ had? Not even close. So the point here is that this particular ayah is highlighting not just the general disbelievers. Kuffar in this ayah, it's concentrating on the disbelievers who are constantly persecuting and attacking the followers of the Prophet ﷺ. Those people who are open enemies to the Prophet ﷺ, to his followers, those are the people Allah is saying stand firm, meaning hold on to your deen and don't compromise your deen or your religion for anybody else, especially those, because they have ill intentions. They want to exterminate you and your belief system, and they're constantly running after the Prophet ﷺ, constantly persecuting him. All of those things is what this ayah is talking about. The ayah is not talking about your non-Muslim neighbors, your non-Muslim friends, your non-Muslim co-workers and colleagues and classmates. It's not talking about any of them. As a matter of fact, Islam tells us that we're supposed to be kind, gentle, and soft with all of mankind. But these are some of the few ayat that all scriptures have where if you are going to be subject to any threat or violence or persecuted by anyone else, then you need to stand up to that. You need to be firm against that. Because if you let that continue, then today you become the victim, and then tomorrow someone else becomes the victim. And so the process continues. And in many cases, it'll even escalate and intensify. So this is an ayah that calls us to be firm, especially for those who are open enemies to us and to Muslims and to Islam. See the difference now in the ayah? Do you see now how this ayah will be focused and concentrated on a specific group of people, a very, very specific group of people? Why did I choose this ayah? Because this is one of the abused verses of the Quran. That in this day and age, I believe that many Muslims around the world still have to learn, still have to understand, still have to learn to comprehend, still have to learn to internalize, still have to study. They misquote this verse and use it for all the wrong reasons. But remember that in context, and the explanation that scholars have given us on this surah, it is speaking about extremists and those who are open enemies towards Muslims and towards Islam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to stand your ground, to be firm and hold on to your deen, and to do your best at the end of the day to at least be as when you are from ashidda'a 'ala al-kuffari ruhama'u baynahum, and compassionate with one another. And at least at the end of the day, this is not a call to go and annihilate all of these people. No, at the end of the day, you are holding on to your deen, your religion. That's the whole point of this verse. You want to protect your faith, your religion. It's the one thing that nobody can take away from you. So it's a call for to reinforce commitment and strength in our faith with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So really, really important. I wanted this verse to be part of our 10 verses. So I hope inshallah that it's clear, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. Allahumma ameen. So verse number 9, Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 41. I love this verse. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udhkuru allaha dhikran kathira. O people of Iman, always remember Allah often. Udhkurullah. So a couple of things to understand. This particular ayah starts off with Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, not Ya ayyuhan nas. But we know that all of mankind should remember Allah, should think of Allah, should at least know who Allah is. So why is the dhikr of Allah restricted to Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, to believers? Why isn't it more broad? What Allah is concentrating on here is that, look, if you are a person with faith and iman, you have to commit yourself to the remembrance of Allah more so than anyone else. Because while you've been blessed with the main ingredient, which is faith, you have iman, you're at a good start. Now, the next step to strengthening your iman is that you remember Allah. Now, here is where, again, it's a mistake that many Muslims make, thinking that the dhikr of Allah is just lip service. You just say, astaghfirullah, subhanallah, you say all these different du'as and adhkar, and now I have done dhikr of Allah. Udhkurullah dhikran kathira entails anything and everything that helps us to remember Allah. That is why our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us that everything in this world is cursed. الدنيا ملعونة. ملعون ما فيها إلا ذكر الله وما والاه. So the Prophet ﷺ says that everything in this world is cursed. This world is cursed and everything in it is cursed. And then the Prophet ﷺ continues and he says, إلا except ذكر الله, the remembrance of Allah. وما والاه, and the thing that helps you to remember Allah. So the remembrance of Allah will never have the curse of Allah upon it. Why? This is one of the most effective, easiest ways to ward off the curse of Allah, to protect yourself from the curse of Allah, by you're in the constant state of dhikr. So let's understand what the dhikr is, not just in this ayah, but in a general sense. Dhikr is anything that brings you closer to Allah. So it could be things that you verbalize, things that you recite, things that you memorize and you say. And it could also be any chore or activity that you do for the sake of Allah. It connects you to remembering Allah. So, for example, you decide to sweep a floor. You know, you're in a building, you're in a school, you're in a masjid, you're at a community center, and you're volunteering. And it's not really your job, but you see that the floor is a bit dirty. And for the sake of Allah, you set your intention, you grab a broom, and you just start sweeping away. You just make it nicer. You know, you see some garbage or some items are all, you know, messy and untidy. So you tidy the place up. You put the chairs where they belong. You put the Kleenex, the cups, everything. You kind of tidy things the way they are. And you do that all just for the sake of Allah. Is this not dhikr of Allah? It is dhikr of Allah. Now these simple chores and activities you do bring you closer to Allah. So it's not just a verbal thing. Often when people recite this verse, they concentrate, okay, you should be reciting a lot of Quran, you should be doing a lot of adhkar. That's great, and that's important, but it's much more comprehensive and broader. Dhikr of Allah, here's another way to think about it. Why should you do a lot of dhikr of Allah? Because Allah says, dhikran kathira, udhkurullah, so remember Allah, dhikran, with the remembrance, kathir, that is plentiful, in abundance. Why do we need to remember Allah so much? And the answer to that is a couple of things. Number one, it's who we are as a creation. We are insun. The plural is insan. It comes from the word nasya, a people, a creation that forgets. So the reason why we are commanded to remember Allah so much is because we're constantly forgetting Him. That's our nature as human beings. And unfortunately, some will be much more careless about it than others. But even if somebody who is constantly engrossed in the remembrance of Allah will quickly forget it if they don't continue that routine. The second thing is, think of the remembrance of Allah like you have these bookshelves in your mind. And each of on these bookshelves, you have all kinds of ayat and knowledge and dhikr and hadith all these wonderful pieces of knowledge that are packed away on this bookshelf. Dhikrullah is when you take a book off the shelf and you open it. Because it's not possible for you to memorize everything that's on these shelves. So once in a while, you open that book and you start reading it like, oh, I remember this. That's why you do dhikr of Allah. Because it helps you to stay connected with Allah, Eve, especially with the things that you and I tend to forget on a daily basis. And of course, the dhikr of Allah wipes away our sins, cleanses us, purifies our hearts, purifies our actions. It keeps us closer to Allah. The one who remembers Allah constantly preserves and protects their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this particular ayah is an ayah for life. You should always have the dhikr of Allah. This is why it needs to be amongst the 10 verses. That you constantly live your life in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, a day loses its flavor and sweetness when there is no remembrance of Allah in it. It loses its flavor, it loses its sweetness. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just try it. Take a day and say to yourself that, okay, I'm going to recite some Quran for today. And I'm going to recite as much as I can, whatever it is, an hour or two, you just recite some Quran. And you leave it at that. Then you start your day, you go to work, school, or what have you, do your chores and everything else. And I promise you, just because you fulfilled dhikr of Allah at that moment, as the day continues, your heart is going to want more. It's going to desire more. How do you think our ulama and scholars and companions reached the level that they reached in their relationship with Allah? How did they do that? This was the secret ingredient. It was the dhikr of Allah. This is the secret ingredient that elevates us in our relationship with Allah and protects that relationship with Allah. The secret ingredient that does it all is the remembrance of Allah. And finally, verse number 10. Rightfully so, it is the last verse of Surah An-Nas, which is of course the last surah of the Quran. And why did I choose this particular verse? الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ, who whispers into the hearts of mankind from amongst the jinn and humankind. So everybody knows Surah An-Nas. And الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ, the one who whispers, we all know who whispers into our hearts. There's only one creation Allah allowed to do that, and that is, of course, the shayateen and the jinn. So why are we ending off with a verse with verses like this? Look, everything that we do in life that is for the betterment of mankind, starting with ourselves, every act of goodness and righteousness we do for each other, and that we do for Allah, and that we do to purify and put us in a place that we're living a healthy, good life, doing the right thing, shaitan is always there. Shaitan is always there to deter us, to tempt us, and in this surah, to whisper to us. Waswasa, to tempt us, to whisper. Shaitan is the only creation that was given the ability to come right up to the heart and speak to it. You know, it's like if you have a house and you fence off your property, you're safe in your house and you're fine. You lock the doors and you're on your property. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ, Allah does not say الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي قُلُوبِ النَّاسِ, doesn't say the one who whispers in the hearts of mankind. Sudur here includes the hearts. That's why the translation has the hearts. But sudur also means the entire chest area. So if you put that all together, shaitan doesn't get into the heart, but he gets into the property where the heart resides. So he gets into the chest area. So think of it like a house, and it's got a fenced property, and you're safe in your home, But the shaitan is camping outside in your front yard or in your backyard, and he's just sitting there waiting for you to get out of your house. Your house, you're safe. He can't come in there because that's your heart. So you protect that. But the moment you step out of that, meaning the moment you allow your heart to become lazy and you lose that remembrance, and slowly the shaitan looks through a window, looks through, you know, the door. Slowly, shaitan inches closer and gets more comfortable and stays there longer. So I end off this series with this particular verse to remind myself and all of us that shaitan will be there إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ till the day we are all resurrected. This is something that Iblis asked Allah for. Iblis asked Allah, allow me to misguide them and steer them away until the end of time. And Allah says, okay, you can do that. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ Except your slaves, the ones who are sincere. Shaitan can't win them. Sincerity destroys all of Shaitan's plans. So I end off with this, that everything we strive for in life, we are going to be in constant battle with the shayateen. We're going to be constantly battling with him. It's not going to go away. So when you find yourself, as the days continue and the days unfold, that you're struggling, that you know what to do, you know how to do it, but you just can't get yourself to do it, understand that the shaitan plays a big part of that. But, however, with all of the 10 verses that we have shared with you, I pray that inshallah ta'ala, it will ignite something in you that reminds you and reinstills within you the confidence that as long as you are alive, you have what it takes to beat the shaitan, to win over shayateen. Because at the end of the day, Allah still says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ ضَعِيفًا That the shaitan to mankind at the end of the day is still da'if, still a weak creation. Why? How? Because we have the remembrance of Allah. We have the Quran. We have the most powerful tool against the shaitan. We have it all. Allah didn't just create shaitan to be this strong and powerful that it gets that close to our hearts. I mean, not even angels can come that close to our hearts. He gives us to the shayateen and still says that, you know, here's the Quran, here's its knowledge, here's what I want you to do with it. And as a result, this is the thing that's going to help you overcome all of the wasawis and the temptation of shayateen. So I want to conclude, inshallah ta'ala, by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his love and mercy on each and every one of us. Let me just go back to the beginning. This was a journey through 10 verses that every Muslim must understand. Obviously, I'm sure we all have verses on our minds that you would want to add or switch out in this journey. And by all means, that's good. That shows that you're thinking about this subject, that you're reflecting on the Quran, that you're thinking about specific verses that connect with you in a different way, that are more meaningful to you, because they relate to some aspect of your life at this very moment. And that's good. That's a great start. But my brothers and sisters, there's over 6,000 plus verses. So don't just restrict yourself to 10 of them. But use one of these 10 or all 10 as a gateway to the rest of the Quran. Use it as a way that connects you back to Allah's book. Wallahi, there is nothing left in this world that can bring us any sort of peace and satisfaction except Allah's book. There's nothing, like everything around us, like life is getting tougher and tougher. Just the cost of living, just purchasing basic things, food, gas, homes, bills, everything. Just to live is becoming so difficult, almost impossible. When you have the Quran with you, you're able to stay calm and feel confident that Allah, you trust Him, that He's in charge. Everything is kun fayakun, and bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, you'll be okay. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you all safe in the next few months. This will be our final session for the summer, and inshallah ta'ala, we will resume with a brand new subject brand new courses after the summer, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So please stay tuned for that. Continue to stay connected with us. Continue to stay connected with Islam.ca. Come to the IAT YouTube channel, IAT Facebook. We're on every social media outlet out there. There's going to be content constantly streaming for your enjoyment and pleasure, inshallah ta'ala. So although you might not see us live, you will certainly have access to all of our content. And I pray that, inshallah ta'ala, it is uplifting and beneficial to you and to your families, inshallah ta'ala, Allahumma ameen. So I conclude, my brothers and sisters, thank you all for joining us. For those of you that are joining us for the first time, just keep in mind, we have three other sessions that you're welcome to tune into. They're all on YouTube, of the 10 verses every Muslim must understand. So please, if you're looking to get all 10 of those verses, just go through each of the videos, and inshallah, you will have all of that, all of its reference and context, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Fajazakumullahu khayra. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of you and keep you safe. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.